Now, earlier this week, President Biden rolled out some details of a proposal for a big infrastructure plan. Over 8 years, the roughly $2 trillion package includes hundreds of billions of dollars for improving roads, bridges, broadband access, as well as drinking water systems and other initiatives that would address climate change. And it's got a price tag to pay for it. In part, the bill would raise the corporate tax rate and make other changes to taxes for corporations. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have about the taxes that corporations currently pay? What do you think of the corporate tax cuts of 2017? Do you like the idea of raising the rate? Dislike it? And what do you want to know about the impact it could have? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Menzi Chin is a professor of public affairs and economics at UW-Madison. Menzi, welcome back to Central Time.
Well, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, there's a lot in this bill, and it's just a proposal at this point, really. But when you look at what it has to say about corporate tax rates and enforcement and things like that, what are you looking at? What kind of questions does it raise for you?
Well, I think that's an important aspect of this package. You know, unlike the previous packages, both the $4 trillion that was passed before the Trump administration ended and the $1.9 trillion package that was just passed, this one is in large part financed by raising taxes. And that's important when we think about both the long-term impact on debt and the impact on the economy in the short term. Estimates are, you know, the package is about $2.2 trillion in spending. Between $1.5 and $2 trillion is going to be increased revenue from changing the tax code. I think that's important. So that's saying that hopefully a good chunk of the financing is going to be through higher taxes. And that's going to be on corporations. We're taking back the corporate tax rate, which was 35%. Before 2017, which then went down to 21%, and now we're going to bring it back up to 28%. So if you're thinking, wow, you know, we're going way back into the past in terms of corporate tax rates, in some sense, no. We're sort of reversing a little bit of what happened in 2017. And in addition, we're hopefully tightening up on the ability of multinational corporations to shift around their revenues to avoid taxes. I think that's one big chunk of the program that they have in mind, is to get more tax revenue from corporations.
Menzi, I think it gets confusing sometimes when we hear, okay, corporations have this this tax rate that bounces around as bills pass Congress, but then we hear news stories that says company X, a big company you've heard of, paid little or no federal taxes in any given year. What's going on there?
Well, there are a multitude of things. I can't say I'm a tax expert, but you know, in any whenever you file your own taxes, you know that there are different ways of categorizing income, different ways in which you can take either deductions or credits. Well, for corporations, they have a lot more flexibility in all these things to sort of allocate. Well, where are the profits being made or allocated? Is it here or is it in Ireland? You know, how much of that can you tax from the United States when you're supposed to be taking into account, you know, the fact that they're being taxed, let's say, overseas, perhaps at a lower rate. In addition, you know, you can state expenses in ways that might not make sense, you know, in some common sense way, but could eliminate your liability for a given year if you allocate your expenses in a certain way. So, you know, there, even for a corporation onshore with no multinational operations, you could, you know, there's ways to be somewhat imaginative in how you submit your tax forms. When you get into the international arena, there's a lot more leeway, and it's not as if the international tax authorities can somehow coordinate to make sure that, you know, nobody's evading or avoiding the taxes in some way.
One basic criticism of the idea of bringing corporate tax rates back up, again, as you said, not to where they were before 2017, but bringing them up, is, okay, we're just still trying to come out of this pandemic, still trying to get the economy to bounce back. raising the taxes on corporations raises the cause of the cost of doing business for manufacturers and others. That's going to hurt the recovery. Is there something to that?
Well, you know, that's sort of a hold everything else constant analysis. So it's hard to say how big the effect is. Presumably, if you raise corporate tax rates, maybe there'll be a bit less investment. Maybe profits will be lower, so perhaps stock prices might be lower. I'd say this is particularly a time when you don't need to worry too much about at least the latter aspect. But the point of the matter is, this is not holding everything else constant. You're raising corporate tax rates in order to finance government expenditures. And in this case, really a lot of it is investment in infrastructure and other capital, where, you know, if you think about it, the government is hopefully putting funds and resources into projects that get, let's say, on average, 7% return when the interest rate at which the government borrows right now for, let's say, 10 years is negative. It's below zero in real terms. So this is an opportune time for the government to devote resources to expanding the productive capacity of the economy over the longer term. I mean, people talk about competitiveness all the time. Well, part of the competitiveness of the U.S. economy is how well your workforce is trained, how well your infrastructure works, you know, from the airports to the roads to the bridges to the high-speed broadband. All those things are part of the input into our ability to produce goods and services at competitive costs.
We're talking to Menzi Chin from UW-Madison, looking at the idea of increasing corporate taxes to help pay for the proposed infrastructure package from the White House. You can join in with your thoughts and questions at 800-642-1234. Let's bring on a caller now. David is with us in New Richmond. David, hi.
Hi. Say, I wanted to bring up the point that not all corporations are huge companies that have lots of people on salary. Almost every farm you drive by is incorporated, whether it's a great big farm or a mom and pop farm. A lot of just small businesses themselves are incorporated. I'm a business owner, incorporated. Because of, you know, I consider myself a Republican because of this goofy president that we did have and the tariffs. If you look at rail, I'm in the rail business. If you look at rail car loadings are just down across the board in the last 3.5 years. And my business is down literally 90%. And to look at increasing the taxes on businesses that are struggling right now, just because they're corporations does not mean that they're great big companies like Target or something like that. That's the point that I wanted to make, that people kind of confuse that. A lot of times it's a mom and pop company that's incorporated.
So, gotcha, David. Thanks a lot for the call. Good luck in your business. Menzi, would these kind of corporate tax increases, the tax rate increase, maybe damage small businesses like David's?
Well, once again, I'm not clear on the exact details of how, you know, the tax code is replete with lots of special rates, deductions, credits, and so forth. So that, you know, we talk about, for instance, a 35% tax rate that applied to corporations before 2017. But in essence, no corporation paid effectively 35% because there were so many, you know, details in the tax code that allowed corporations to pay essentially less than 35%, substantially less. So as we move forward, you can imagine if the tax rate goes up, depending upon the details of what exemptions, deductions, credits still remain in the code, it could be that a given corporation, one corporation might see an increase in its effective tax rate and another one not at all, even though they're both corporations. Depends a lot upon the particulars of the activity that they're engaged upon and how they allocate their losses and profits and so forth. One thing I will say is that a big part of the effort that the Biden administration is putting an effort into, it is to manage somehow to make multinational corporations pay a greater share of their well, burden, as a, at least as it perceived by the administration, that is to have them pay more in tax revenues. To the extent that the Biden administration is able to tailor the changes or and no changes to hit that objective of targeting multinational corporations, then small mom and pop corporations probably will not have as big a hit or impact as other corporations.
Thanks for that call. And Menzi, yeah, you mentioned Ireland earlier. There's been that that story on and off of companies doing what I think is called inversion, where they relocate some of their headquarters to a lower tax country, and that somehow, through means that I don't fully understand, gets them out of some of their taxes in the U.S. Is that the kind of thing you see maybe these Biden administration changes trying to cut down on?
I think it's an attempt to do something like that. Now, it's a complicated thing because obviously these multinational corporations have tremendous armies of accountants to help them out, lawyers and accountants, to try to figure out how to game any particular system. But the fact of the matter is the U.S. has a slightly different manner of taxing international income than other countries. And between these gaps, there are ways to work around it. So the question is, how can you reduce the ability of corporations to get around the taxes? And the imposition of things like a minimum tax rate that's based upon a number that is hard to move around by accounting means is one way of trying to get more revenue. So that is why there's besides the fact that we don't have all the details, there's a lot of uncertainty about how much tax revenue will be gained as you tighten up the restrictions on, you know, international income and so forth. It's just that it's not clear how effective we can be in capturing that income. Hope is we capture a lot.
We're talking to Menzi Chen, professor of public affairs and economics at UW-Madison. We're looking at some possible effects of a boost in corporate taxes. That's in President Biden's proposal to help fund major infrastructure improvements. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think of the idea of raising the corporate tax rate in part to help pay for infrastructure and other ways of cracking down on ways that companies avoid paying that rate? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Right now, we're picking up our talk with public affairs and economics professor Menzi Chen from UW-Madison, looking at tax policy changes proposed by the Biden administration aimed at paying for infrastructure and other domestic development, including an increase in the corporate tax rate and cracking down on ways of avoiding those taxes. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts, ideas, and questions. Let's go back to your calls now. Carolyn is with us in Mauston. Carolyn, hi.
Hi. I guess I would like to make more of a comment. I've worked with a few businesses, and my experience and what I've seen is the manners in which they take write-offs, expenses, personal expenses, called business expenses, which really, if you're an honest person, wasn't. I had an experience where a foreign company owned our company in the United States, and after a one-hour meeting or two-hour meeting in February, after the tax period ended, they went from owing $80,000 in federal tax, it was like 3 years ago, to zero, and actually getting refunds back for that year and three previous years by recapturing so-called taxes that they had paid previously. So, the IRS right now goes after low-hanging fruit. So they go after W-2 people, people who are 1099, and have not been funded to the ability to go after companies with complex taxes. In my case, my experience, they weren't that complex. If they do a little digging, they could have found this stuff out if they would have been audited. And it's proven, I believe, that for every dollar you put into the IRS, they make like what, $4 to $10 back. I can't remember what the stats were. And that is one aspect of this new policy. And in regards to having a minimum tax, I'm sure they'll consider mom and pop stores under a certain amount of income, sales, net profit.
Gotcha. Carolyn, thanks a lot for the call. And Menzie, I've seen that argument elsewhere that the IRS is under-resourced for pursuing the kinds of audits and things like that for the most complex cases, corporations, wealthy people who have a lot of ways of moving money around. Is that something you see needing to be solved?
Well, absolutely. I mean, that's been true for years and years and years. There's been continuous opposition from certain elements to resourcing the IRS to greater degree, especially in terms of the size of the economy. So, you know, over time, as the tax code gets more and more complicated and corporations and wealthy individuals get better and better at trying to move around their assets in a way such that it's hard to tax them, then it's clear that an extra dollar that's devoted to IRS enforcement is probably going to yield many dollars more in return in higher tax revenues. So that goes without saying. In general, though, I think we need, in addition to greater enforcement, just a change to the legislation and the tax code so that there's some way that you can just capture, for instance, multinationals' profits no matter how they allocate them on the books around the world. And so I think that's a chief objective of any reform that's coming down the line.
Carolyn, thanks for the call. We'll go to Barry next in Kenosha. Barry, hi.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. What'd you want to bring up, Barry?
I want to bring up the fact that corporate welfare creates jobs. One example I have, a true example, Abbott Labs, where I retired from, They were going to build a $90 million biologics pilot plant in North Chicago, Illinois. Illinois gave them a $900,000 cash incentive to build, and Ireland gave them an $85 million cash incentive. So take a wild guess where they built the plant. So we need more corporate welfare. And then that's what Europe does. Europe lures our corporations away and you know, they make their money back with income tax, you know?
Barry, thanks a lot for the call. Menzie, a lot of times when people use the phrase corporate welfare, it's in a derogatory sense. Barry says we need it to keep companies or lure companies to the U.S. What do you think?
Well, I think it's complicated, but the better option would be to somehow constrain governments from offering these inducements, because then it's, you know, if you don't, then it's kind of a race to the bottom. It's a race to give each of these corporations bigger and bigger benefits so that they, you know, locate in one place. I mean, we don't need to look to Illinois. We can look to Foxconn. You know, would that have been cost effective even if they had built the plant that they promised? And they're unlikely to do what they promised to. Now, that's all at the state and local level, these inducements, at least in the U.S. I think the thing that the Biden administration would like to do is to try to cooperate with international tax authorities, you know, tax authorities in other countries, so that we don't have a race to the bottom and yet at the same time capture more of the tax revenue that they believe that they're entitled to. The question of these inducements, they're important, but I don't think directly they're going to be dealt with in the reform here.
Thanks for that call. Looking at this infrastructure package, that makes me think how effective is this kind of spending as an economic stimulus? Because, for example, you know, a highway in Wisconsin, you can't build it in Ireland. It's got to be there. Is this a good way to use federal resources to boost the economy?
Well, actually, I say absolutely. In fact, the quintessential canonical example of government spending that most macroeconomists support right now is infrastructure spending. And the reason is, the bang for the buck is the biggest. It's like for each dollar devoted to infrastructure, estimates vary, you might get $1.5 in economic activity in return for a given year. In addition, the impact on the economy is much more longstanding. So compared against consumption, where let's say you hire 1,000 more civil servants versus you build or you fix a bridge or you put in broadband, fiber optics, and so forth, the latter is going to give you is going to lower costs of production for firms and for lower costs for households into the future. And so what's true is that of all the government spending that you can think of, okay, tax cuts or tax expenditures, government spending on employees, things like that, of the things that are going to directly impact the economy over time the most, it's going to be infrastructure spending. The one thing I'll add to this is if you were afraid of the possibility the economy would overheat, given that we're adding on another $2.2 trillion of spending on top of the $6 trillion or so that we've done over the past couple of years, I'll just add that because this is a tax-financed spending increase, the stimulus is going to be a lot less. In addition, the tax changes are going to be spread over 15 years, whereas the spending is going to be over the next 8 years. The contrast is with the package that just passed, the $1.9 trillion American Rescue Plan. That was going to be mostly spent out over the next 2 years. Okay, so in some sense, this is a measure that is not so much stimulus, but a measure to restore competitiveness to the U.S. economy over a longer span of time, targeting areas, both conventional infrastructure and things like home care help and so forth, and research and development that have been thought of as being underfunded.
Menzi, thanks again for joining us today.
My pleasure. Glad to be here.
Menzi Chin is a professor of public affairs and economics at UW-Madison. We talked to him about proposed tax policy changes, part of a new infrastructure package introduced this week by President Biden.